Hi, I'm Sharad Kutan, and welcome to Let's Talk, the show that brings you the most important conversations in art, culture, and ideas. And today, I'm here in Kuching, Sarawak, and standing before a mural by Leonard Siau. He's my guest today. I'm going to be talking to him about how he became a muralist, his ideas and themes that excite him, and what he plans to do with his future. Leonard, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Let's start with this mural. Does it have a title? What is it supposed to, depict? What history is it that you're showing here?
Okay, the title of this mural is Kuli Keng and the Big Well. Okay. Okay. The reason why we pen a big well there because actually there is a well exists somewhere here, this area, and the exact spot of the well I'm not sure, and I personally haven't seen and I'm not seen that before. And other than this, it depicts the lifestyle and the activities of the coolies back then.
Right.
So they're doing work nearby the waterfront.
Okay, so wait, just to give our audience a sense of where this is, we're on part of the city. It's all part of the city. A lot of small shop houses. Mm. It's quite near the river.
Yes.
So this is, it would be a scene from the daily activities where goods and goods are landing in Kuching.
It used to be here, waterfront here. I mean, right nearby here,
right.
For import and export. But after that, they shift to different area. Yeah, it's no longer here, and then here become a tourist attraction.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I want to ask you about this idea of as a muralist. I mean, were you commissioned to do this work, and were you given a brief and told what to depict? How does it work?
Yes, I was given an instruction to follow, and how I do it is like I get a few models, I arrange my friends, and then get them to pose under the sunlight, afternoon sunlight. It's like a very bright sunlight, so that I can get the different layers, highlight, and then mid tone and the darker tone,
right?
And yeah, I followed their instruction.
Right, too. Okay, so you were commissioned by the city to tell the story of Kuching in the 50s.
Yeah,
would be the 50s, right?
Yeah, somewhere there.
Right, okay. So I know you've had extraordinary success in the last 5 years. But before that, you were a person involved in sort of commercial art, graphic artwork, doing billboards.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about your trajectory. I mean, your schooling, your training that you got that, somehow impacted the kind of work that you're doing today?
After my graduation from my college, I was taking this graphic design and multimedia. And I prefer to study major in fine arts. And I wish I have the opportunity to go to overseas or West Malaysia to get the course I want. But too bad I have these financial difficulties. And therefore, I chose to stay here to pick the course that is closest to art, which is graphic design. Yeah, so after my graduation, I worked with the printing and design company for about 5 years. Okay, the pace is very stable. Yeah, 9 to 5, and then Monday to weekends. And it's kind of repetitive for me, and then
not the life that you wanted, right?
Exactly.
But I want to ask you this.
Yeah.
What do you think you missed out not going to art school? Because your work is very painterly. It is. There's a lot of bad murals in Malaysia. Your work is not a bad mural. I mean, it has depth. It has the textures. You talk about, the different tones. So it's very painterly and it's very beautiful. What is it that you didn't get from art school, but clearly is reflected in your work?
I get influenced by my mentor, actually. Yeah. I met my mentor in a bed in my university. He recruited me to join his team whenever he have this project, ongoing personal project, and then I join him. And that's where I get influenced by him. It's like he spray all the graffitis during his for his commercial work. Then I pick up from him.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I see. So this is the other thing, right? Yeah. The graffiti work that, I mean, sometimes you see it around the KL, around, Pasar Seni, see that graffiti work. Very different in style because, there's use of lettering, there's they're very bold colors, but there's a there's a tendency to be very flat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you apprenticed under him,
yep,
right? And you learned. Where did you pick up this style? Where does this style come from?
Okay. What my mentor did is not totally graffiti. He like a mixed media. So he pen first, and then he used the spray to do the final touch, the finishing.
Right.
Yeah. So how do I reach this? I would say I pick up here and there from the places I visit. Yeah, it's like I go to KL and then mingles with the art communities there, and then with the fellow artists there. I went to Australia. I went to other places like in US. I get to visit their museum. So that's why I would say observe my based on my observation, and then I pick up from here and there, and then I try to develop my own.
Right. Yeah. Then when did you have that big break? So you're working with a commercial publisher, doing billboards, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you transited to a kind of full-time artist, a full-time muralist.
Yep.
How did that happen? What were the opportunities that allow you to change track and become the person that you actually, I guess, wanted to be all along?
You mean from my...
commercial work. That initial kind of full-time work in the company.
Yeah.
How did you start doing murals and doing the kind of murals that you're doing today?
Actually, I did some part-time during my... when I was still a full-time graphic designer. And slowly, I would say... my artistic side is calling, so I make a really bold move to make a very serious consideration to become a full-time muralist.
Okay,
yeah.
But
yeah,
it can't be easy, right? Because I imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong,
sure,
that you need commissions. Basically, somebody has to say to you, please, Leonard, paint this wall, we'll pay you for it, right? It's going to be irregular work.
Mm.
It's going to come because you pitch or you have a portfolio that people are excited about. What was the big work for you that kind of made your name or started your portfolio that people are interested in? They see that and they think, yes, I want something like that by Leonard Siao. Which work really, was a big break for you?
Which work, huh? I would say it starts from the... back then I used to do some commercial painting, like what you see in my Instagram, like seafood style and then all the Chinese style painting. But after that, I realized that a good painting that should have something meaning in depth, yeah, some great story or message to tell. So I'm kind of fortunate that I was appointed by our mayor. So he get me to allocate all the stories around this downtown, yeah. And then from there, I realized that I know so little about this city, especially not to say other culture. Even my own Chinese race, I knew very less about it, yeah. So
So it was the mayor's. Yeah. Now, was it your Instagram account? Because I actually been following you for some time.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember what exactly alerted me to your work. It might have been the Ring Ladies. Mm. It was a massive work and very stunning, right?
Mm.
And so then I thought, who is this guy? Because we do have muralists in the peninsula. And of course, Penang had... really started this frenzy around gentrification and murals, but very small scale. And, that's what alerted me to you. Are those big works, like the Ring Ladies, the works that have made your name? I mean, people associate you with these dramatic, large scale work. I mean, this is modest in comparison. I mean, the ones you have, three stories high? Yeah, something like that?
Yeah, somewhere there, yeah.
So what is it that you would like to be known? Is it the big scale work, the small scale work? What's the difference that you see?
That's a good question. Actually, I don't really into sizes. Okay, I'm more concerned about the story behind the mural. Yeah. So what happened to the last Ring Ladies in 10 miles is on a big wall because that's the... I mean, when I was in the discussion stage, I went around that area searching for the walls, and that's the best way I can look. I can paint for a mural.
Right.
Yeah. So that's why I go for that. I propose that wall. Right. Yeah.
And why the ladies? Because they are a part of a dying generation.
Yeah.
And a culture that perhaps might not be reproduced in the future, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
So you capture that. Why was that story special for you?
I think that it's first of all that five ring ladies it's like an icon for a Padawan, okay. And secondly,
that's an ethnic community, right? The Padawan.
Yeah. It's a sub-ethnic from the Bidayu, okay. And it's because I think we are pretty fortunate to witness. We know they are going to be like gone, okay. So I think it's pretty fortunate and lucky for all of us to witness such the elegant fall of this elegant way of life, I would say.
Right. Yeah, it is very beautiful, and they are okay. And finally, before we go to the second part, I'd like to ask you a bit about your methodology and how you do this, because it seems to me, at least from Instagram, that you're doing this entirely on your own. I mean, you paint these huge things on your own. Correct me if I'm wrong. But before we get to that, where do you take the themes? So you're now doing culture and heritage, but for how long will you be doing this? Are you going to take up more modern themes, more contemporary themes? Especially because murals often are associated with, or can be associated with, kind of social criticism and political messaging. Where do you want to take your work after this?
For me, I'll try my best to avoid some sensitive issues. Yeah, and for maybe I don't know how long. Yeah.
Okay. We'll take a short break now. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back with more on Let's Talk. Hi, and welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, my guest, Leonard Siao, is a Kuching-based artist and muralist. We're standing in front of one of his works depicting a much more contemporary theme. Now, I'd like to ask you, Leonard, this, to maybe the casual eye, looks like a picture of cats, because cats are big in Kuching, and a very pretty young woman. But there's a backstory that highlights a social issue. Could you help us understand the story behind this young woman?
How I get to know this young lady is that I was invited to her book launching. Yeah, she written a book about depicts about her battle against this her illness, thalassemia.
Right.
Yeah. From during her presentation, I was kind of moved by her, that her positive vibe, and then how she sees things, then how she conquer her fear or something.
Right.
So this mural is actually I was hired by mayor. So actually he wanted me to paint a cat. So I was thinking why don't add a human figure in it, and then we can tell a different story. And then he agreed with me, so I get this young lady as a subject of this mural, which is his niece. So she's kind of a special one for me, because I believe those who with the same age as her, she's been through a lot more than them.
I believe. She's had a wealth of experience coming from a personal medical struggle, right?
Exactly,
I know Kuching has lots of public art with cats in them, and I know there's some dispute as to whether the name of the city, Kuching, is really about cats, and or Mata Kuching, which is a fruit. But okay, we'll put that aside.
Yeah.
We're on this very busy road, Jalan Wawasan. I want to ask you, though, you have now gone abroad to do work as well. And I don't mean the peninsula. I know you have this beautiful work in Penang, and maybe we could talk about that. But I want to talk about how you've gone to other countries in the US and worked with the Franklin Zoo. Mm. How do those things come about? How do those opportunities happen for you?
I was invited over by my friend, basically. Yeah. Mm. So I take that as an opportunity to have some I call it painting vacation for myself.
Right.
And and then from there I dropped two pieces in to the place my friend worked. So besides US, I've been to Australia, which I stand a chance to win a competition in West Malaysia. The title is World Tour. The title of the competition called Make Your Mark in Melbourne Straight Up Competition. So I was lucky to stand a chance to win the first place. And therefore I get to travel to Melbourne and I make my mark there at their Straight Up Festival. Yeah, so this is what happened.
Okay, so it's interesting. You're building a portfolio now. Yeah. Public art and I think murals are popular, partly because in the age of Instagram, people want also to pose. I'm sure a lot of people pose by your art, take photographs by your art because it's so visually stunning. It's large. It's very strong in terms of the stories it wants to convey. What is it that you hope for yourself now? I mean, now that you are beginning to go beyond Malaysia, is there enough work in Malaysia? How do you pitch yourself to an international audience from which you can get commissions? Because I guess commissions are the way in which a muralist like yourself makes a living, right?
Yeah.
How do you put yourself out there in a world that's so huge with maybe a billion Instagram, I love your Instagram page,
thank you.
But there must be huge competition, right, for attention. How do you make your mark in a world like this?
I try to stay with what I good at. I mean, my style, what I do all this while, And this is also one of the reasons that I choose to stay in Kuching instead of go to other places because Sarawak is an inspiration for me. Then why do I have to be away from it? I think I have a lot of stories to tell here. So
are you doing work in other cities in Sarawak, in Cebu, in Miri?
Maybe in future, in a very near future. Yeah. In the very near future, yes. Yeah.
Can you tell us if there's a distinction you make in your mind between the more commercial work? Because you have done work for a seafood restaurant, maybe, was it?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that because it's really beautiful. In fact, when I think about your work, I'm reminded of the movie poster artwork, right? It's now become seen as something beautiful and something to be cherished, right? That whole tradition of painting movie posters, right? I mean, it's an old one from the 30s until the 50s and 60s, right?
Yes.
So we've come to think of graphic arts and as a form of visual culture to be valued and cherished, right? But do you make a distinction between the commercial and the artistic? Or is it all, as it were, on the same level for you?
It's different.
And how is it different?
The seafood that you mentioned, I would categorize that as commercial work. It's because I basically paint what the client wants. And for the pieces like this, and just now, I was given this artistic freedom. Okay, they give me a title and they give me a information, the direction to follow, and then the rest they leave it to me. Yeah, I mean that's how I see the differences.
Right. And let's look at the notion of artistic freedom.
Yeah.
What can you do? Because I've seen that seafood work. I mean, I saw it on your Instagram, and it's beautiful too. You know, it is. I mean, I think there's a lobster or something. It's one of the prawn or something. It's huge, and it's gorgeous because it's so detailed and there's so much detail in it. The colors are vibrant. What is artistic freedom for you? Is it in the style? Is it in the themes that you pick up? Is it in the complexity of the message? Where do you want to express your freedom?
It's a good one. How do I say this? This is a bit... I'll try my best.
Yeah.
With the one I mentioned that with less artistic freedom, okay, I'll take the seafood as an example. So you paint a fish, it have to be exactly looks like a fish. It can't look like anything else. If I accidentally smudge the eyes and I smudge the tail so that it looks like it is swimming, when people can't see the tail is missing or something there, they will complain. So I'll make sure it 100% is a fish there.
Right, okay.
Yeah, for the visual satisfaction of the audience.
Nice.
And on the other side, the one with the artistic freedom, I can just add on anything that I think should be there. Like a smudge brush strokes and maybe some part of the head fly away, something like that, or if you get what I mean.
You can be more playful?
Yeah, more playful, exactly. Yes.
Okay. So how does an artist like you, because, you know, commission work is the lifeblood of, I think, muralists, right? They kind of depend on the government or a city or a corporation, and they probably have very definite ideas about the one. I mean, do you find it difficult to negotiate? You're like an architect. Architects are always having to deal with difficult clients.
Yes.
Who have their own vision, right? They want an ugly roof and you want something more beautiful and contemporary. What have been the struggles for you to get people to trust you, get your patrons to trust you and your artistic vision?
My struggle for it.
Yeah. Well, do they understand what you want? Do they understand your vision?
Some I don't expect them to understand my vision because they just want me to paint the stuff that they want.
Right.
Yeah. Like what you mentioned just now is an artist. Muralist is we need to do this commission murals in order to survive. We have our own bill to pay.
Right.
Yeah. But for those who allows me to paint according to my style, and then they have certain understanding about my personality, my artistic style, and then they can accept what I'm doing. Then I can stand a chance to paint the exact work that I want.
Right.
But for those who don't, I don't waste much time to prove or explain myself to them.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I want to ask you in the last minute that we have. So I know you have some future projects. One of them is the La Promenade Mall. I think you're doing some work there, is it?
It's actually my very first solo exhibition. It's a small one, but I'm going to paint a canvas on the spot.
Right, okay. Yeah. Oh, you're going to do a live drawing for an audience?
Yeah.
Okay, when is that happening? And so if anybody's in Kuching, you might want to catch Leonard do this work. When is this particular exhibition happening, your solo?
Towards end of this month, I'll start these model shoots. Like what I did to the Coolie King and the Big World mural, I get a few models to sit there and then pose for me and then photograph. I'll be doing that on maybe 26th or 28th, I hope, because I need a sunny days, no rainy days, because it's rainy season right now. Yeah.
Leonard, how do people follow your work? I mean, there's Instagram. What is your Instagram account name?
Leonard Xiao Art _.
Okay, Leonard Xiao Arts _. We'll provide that at the bottom of the screen. Thank you so much, Leonard, for being with me on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Mr.
Most welcome. I'm Sharad Kutin. This has been Let's Talk, only for Astro One.